Thank you, ladies, for that. Let's find the Old Testament book of Jonah this morning, and we're going to spend our time in a couple of verses in this book. If you'll find Jonah, now if you're getting new to your Bible, getting familiar with it, if you find the book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, turn back to your left several pages. You'll go through those books that we call the minor prophets. Nothing minor about them. Maybe the size smaller, but everything that's in there is of God, so it's important. And find the book of Jonah. And we're going to read together just a couple, three verses here. I think four verses total in this book. All right, Jonah, chapter 1. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book this morning before we have prayer and have our special jump into the preaching of the Word of God. Now, chapter 1, 1 and 2. Please join me on verse 2, and then we'll get to another chapter here, okay? Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3, and we'll read again the first two verses in chapter 3, if you would again join me on verse 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." My dear Father, help me this morning as I open your book in a moment to preach your word in power and truth, love and sound doctrine. And I pray, God, that hearts will be receptive, ready to receive it. Lord, may you please open our eyes and reveal the truth to us, and then may we please come with a ready and receptive heart. May good seed fall on good ground and bring forth good fruit in this service. We'll thank you for it. Lord, thank you for the privilege to have church. Make us hungry for the Word of God, for gospel, for your truth. God, how it'll help us. We pray that this morning in Christ's name for his sake. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Your only begotten Son, wonderful name of Jesus my Lord.
Good song this morning. I wanted to draw your attention to that verse in the third chapter we read just a moment ago, where the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, I like that. And we're going to talk to you this morning on that subject right there, the second time. Very simple, plain message. So you follow along this morning. Keep your Bible open here in the book of Jonah, chapter 1 and 3. And let's talk about the second time. My dear Father, thank you for Jesus and all that He is to us, all those names that were in the song that Brother Caleb and Emily just sang, so real to us. Thank you that He is all of that and more. We rejoice this morning, God, in the fact that you came to Jonah the second time. Lord, looking out in an auditorium this morning where you have come to folks for a second time, thank you that you are a God of a second opportunity. Help me this morning to, Lord, deliver this message in power and wisdom and truth. I need you, O God. Help me, I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. I meant to announce earlier, I did in my class, I meant to tell you that we need to rejoice with Caleb and Emily because they're expecting child number two this morning, and that's a blessing. Maybe he announced that in his Sunday school class, and so we congratulate them. And they had a miscarriage last time after David was born, just a few months ago, and so we're glad God has given life again. Amen, and praise the Lord for that. The story of Jonah, one of the most disputed and denied and derided stories in all of our Bible. That's true. The idea that a man could be swallowed by a whale, stay in the belly of that fish for 3 days, 3 nights, and then be vomited out alive to go and preach is incredible, to be sure. Now, even to those of us who believe it with all of our hearts, you've got to say it's an incredible story. It's an incredible story. Now, one of the reasons it comes under such attack is because it pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Satan is always attacking the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Always attacking the gospel. Jesus used this story as an example of what would happen to him after his crucifixion. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40, don't turn to it, but he said this, "For as Jonas," or Jonah, "was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And so he said, now you know that Old Testament story about Jonah. You know he was in that whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And then he came out and he said, in the same way, that's what's going to happen to me when I'm crucified. I'm going to the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah was in the whale's belly and Jesus was in the heart of the earth. Jonah came out of the whale's belly and Jesus came out of the heart of the earth. Amen. So both stories are true and both stories are believable to those who are willing to accept them. People who deny the Word of God, it's not that they can't believe, it's that they won't believe. They just won't do it. They refuse to believe it. So here, this is a true story. Now, my emphasis for the morning, a message today, is not really about the whale and all that business. My message this morning is the fact that God is not a one-and-done God. And I'm glad He's not. Our God is a God of a second chance. Actually, the God of a third and fourth chance and so forth and so on. Now, I think his patience has a limit. I think His patience has a limit with saved people. I think His patience has a limit with lost people. But boy, I'm not the one to say when that is. And nobody else can either. He's a God of a second chance, third chance, and on and on and on. Now, when it comes to living for Him, when it comes to being blessed, when it comes to serving God, when it comes to honoring Him, and I mean just making your life count for the Lord, God does not approach us with a, hey, you know what, you blew it, it's over mentality. And I'm thankful He doesn't. So He's a God of a second chance. Now, I'm going to give you four things about Jonah. I'm going to preach them quickly, and then I'm going to make the application to you and me this morning and wrap it up. First of all, this won't be hard to follow. This is very simple, right in your Bible. Number one, I want you to see God's will plainly revealed. God's will plainly revealed. Look at chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Back to chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now folks, how much more plain could this have been? Could this have been any more plain to Jonah? I don't know how you could have been any more plain. God's will plainly revealed. You got the where, go to Nineveh. You got the what, cry against it. That means preach judgment against the sin of that city. And then he told him why. Because their wickedness is great, and it's come up before me, and I'm tired of their sin, and I'm going to give them an opportunity to repent. So Jonah, you go to Nineveh, you preach the judgment of God is coming, because I want to give these folks an opportunity to repent and get right with me. Now, friend, that can't be any clearer. That can't be any more plain. Can I say this morning that God was good to Jonah when he revealed his will to him? God was very good to Jonah. And I say to you and me this morning, that is the great thing, or I should say one of the great things. There's only one great thing about our God. There's more great things about our God than we can count this morning. But this is one of the great things about our God. He doesn't leave us in the dark about his will. He tells us what he wants from us. You know, you see people who don't believe in the one true God of Israel. They worship false gods that are not real. The gods who have no eyes and to see and ears to hear. And they have no heart to feel and no voice with which to speak. And the people who follow those gods, they stumble and they grope in the darkness of their way, trying to please their God. But their God never makes it plain. Their God never makes it clear what they need to do to please him. You know, you think about Elijah and those false prophets on Mount Carmel there. And you think about all that those guys went to. They didn't know what to do. They jumped around. They cut themselves with sharp rocks. Is this okay this morning, Brother Greg? Is it okay out there? All right. It sounds a little bit not right up here. But anyway, you're hearing me okay this morning? Okay, good. So they're cutting themselves with rocks. They're jumping around. They're screaming. They're hollering. You know what all that's a picture of, friend? All of that is a picture of, you know, we don't know what our God is pleased with. We don't know what makes him happy. We don't know what he wants. So we're going to go through all this craziness trying to get our God to talk to us, trying to get our God to listen to us, trying to get our God to care about us, trying to know what makes him happy. And the truth of the matter is, they couldn't do it. Well, it's a false God. He wasn't going to answer anyway. They didn't know. But when Elijah got ready, friend, do you know what he did? You got a very calm, orderly, he repairs the altar. He puts the wood back in place. He puts the sacrifice up there. He steps up and he prays a simple prayer of faith and belief. Lord, please show these people that you're the one true God. Here came the fire. There went the sacrifice. There went the wood. There went the rocks. There went all the water. Everything was gone that quick. Elijah knew what to do. He knew what made God happy. Let me ask you, did you ever try to please someone, but you weren't certain how to do it? Now, see, you ladies, now listen to you ladies chuckling out there. You say, yeah, that's what I'm married to. Amen. I don't know how to please that guy. You ever try to please someone who couldn't be pleased? They just never can say, boy, that's what I wanted. That's a good job. Amen. That's great. Hey, that's wonderful, honey. That's great. You know, you can't please them. Now, friend, God is not like that at all. God has made it very clear for you and for me. He made it very clear for Jonah what pleases him. Now hold your finger right here. Let me take you to one verse over in the New Testament. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Find that if you're getting new to your Bible. You'll go to the middle of the New Testament. You'll hit Romans and Corinthians and keep turning to your right. And you'll go through all those Onians books, Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians. Then you're going to come to Thessalonians. And look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning. And look at verse number 1. Look what Paul wrote here to the church at Thessalonica. Are you there? Here we go. Verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Paul said, hey, Thessalonian people, he said, you know what? This thing's not a mystery. It's not a secret. You know what it takes to walk with God. You know what it takes to please God. We've preached to you. We've given you the commandments. We've given you the Word of God. God's will is plainly revealed in this matter of living for Him. And God plainly revealed His will to Jonah. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Preach against their sin. I want to give them an opportunity to get right with me. That is as plain as day. God's will plainly revealed. Now, back to the book of Jonah. Here we go. Number two, I want you to see this morning, God's will plainly rejected. Look at God's will plainly rejected. Look at verse 3. Are you there? Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, can I tell you, friend, that's kind of an impossible thing to do. That's what Jonah tried to do. From the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare thereof, went down unto it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, folks, look, Jonah didn't just slightly go a different direction here. This is the opposite direction from Nineveh. He went down and he found a boat going the other way. Miles and miles away from where God wanted him. He went the opposite direction. He did exactly opposite what God wanted him to do. God says, okay, go to Nineveh, preach against their sin. I want to give them an opportunity to repent. That's plain and clear. All right? He does exactly the opposite. History, he just rejects the will of God. He rejects it plainly. Now, folks, can I tell you this morning, that kind of decision has severe consequences. It has severe consequences. To Jonah, it may have seemed like a very simple thing to say, you know what, I know what God wants, but I'm not doing that. It may have seemed like a very simple thing, but I'm going to tell you, it wasn't simple. God's not going to sit idly by and watch His children blatantly disobey Him. He's not going to do it. That's God's plain will. That's what I want you to do. Okay, Lord, that's good. Okay, I'm not going there. He did the opposite. Now, I want you to see what happened. God did. Look at verse number 4. The Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You know what God does? When we face His will, His obvious, plain, clear will, when we face it, we go the opposite direction and just decide, no, I'm not doing that. Do you know God makes things difficult for me and you? He sends strong wind into our life. That's what He did with Jonah here. He sent a strong wind into Jonah's life. I'm going to tell you something. This was not just a little gentle breeze blowing off the ocean. This was a wind that scared the seasoned mariners. These guys made their living on these ships. They made their living on the water. And this thing had them scared to death, scared for their life. So here's a tempestuous wind blowing in Jonah's life. I mean, this thing is crazy. Everybody's life is in danger because this man disobeyed God. And God sent a great wind into his life. And then that's not it. Look at verse number 17. Same chapter, chapter 1. Look at verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Isn't it interesting that the word great is used, the adjective, great wind, great fish. You think that's an accident? You think that's a coincidence? My friend, this is not an accident. This is not a coincidence that the Bible uses the word great. Great fish, great wind. Here's a great fish prepared to swallow up Jonah. And this is what happens when we go opposite God's will. You get swallowed up in difficulty. In the counseling session, I don't know, a couple months ago, I told a person, I said, look, I said, you can do what you can do. Here's what God wants, and you know what God wants, and I know what God wants. You can do the opposite, but I'm going to tell you something. When you choose to do the opposite of what God wants, it's going to create problems in your life. Now, I'm no judge of God's timing. But, friend, if you think it's difficult to go and do God's will, what kind of difficulty are you going to face when you go the opposite direction? God's not going to just sit idly by and watch that. Look, you know what God's will is about doing right. You know what God's will is about marriage. You know what God's will is about. And when you look marriage and God's will for marriage in the face and you say, you know what, that's fine, I understand that's what God wants, but I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to tell you something. You're looking to get swallowed up by difficulty. Yeah, when you go on Facebook, and I guess we got some college age boys on Facebook, and it's a bunch of sin, it's a bunch of wickedness, holding up beer cans and everything. When you know the will of God, you say you shouldn't talk about stuff like that. No, I am going to talk about it. I am going to talk about it. And you know what you'd be good to do? Don't get mad. Mourn and grieve and say, God, help. So you know what God's will is. You know how to do right. You boys, you girls, you've been trained in Christian home, growing up. You know what's right. You get the, you look at God's will in the face. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. God makes it plain and clear what His will is. You turn around and go the opposite direction. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a great fish somewhere. There'll be a great fish somewhere. Yeah. There'll be a great wind somewhere. That's what I'm talking about. You can't. The truth is, friend, these consequences are an evidence of God's love and God's mercy. God trying to get His servant back on track. I am thankful that I've got a God. When I stare His will in the face and turn and go the opposite direction, I am thankful that I've got a God who's going to send a great wind and a great fish to try to get me to turn back the right direction. That's an evidence of His love. Huh? What kind of God would it be that just lets me go the opposite direction and lets me just have a good time and not be bothered, not have any trouble whatsoever? Huh? No, friend, I'm glad God... And it's what happened to Jonah. Jonah, plainly revealed. Go to Nineveh, preach. I'm going to give him a chance to get saved. Okay, God, I understand that, but nope, I'm not doing that. Here comes the wind. Here comes the fish. Great wind. Great fish. Great difficulty. Number three, look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. Look at God's mercy plainly requested. You got God's will plainly revealed. You got God's will plainly rejected. Now you got God's mercy plainly requested. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Then Jonah prayed. Let me ask you a question. Should Jonah have prayed earlier? Should he not have gone to God earlier? You know the time for Jonah to pray, folks, is right here. Now, let me say something this morning. When you are faced with God's will and you feel an inner struggle inside of you beginning to rise up, that old will, that old rebellion, that old flesh, I don't want to do that. Look, that doesn't mean you're necessarily an evil person. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 7. He said, this is what I know I should do, but I don't want to do what I know I should do. And this is where Jonah was. I don't want to go that way, Lord. You know the time to pray is right then. The time to pray is right now. The time to pray is, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to obey you. What do we think we do? Trick God? You know, we got all this rebellion and all this, I don't want to do this and all this, Lord, I don't want to go this direction. I don't want. And we think God doesn't see it? God doesn't know it? Sure He does. And so here is Jonah. The time to pray is right now. Lord, I need strength. I need help. I need mercy. I need grace to move forward in your will. That's when you pray, folks. Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Remember He comes there. He's about to go to the cross. He puts Peter, James, and John and says, now you fellas stay awake, pray for an hour. And He goes over there. And the Bible says He went a little further. He got by Himself and He began to pray. Lord, let this cup pass from me. I don't want this. You say He didn't want to die? No, 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 no. He knew He had to die. He set His face like a flint to go to the cross. That's not what He was doing, friend. What He was doing was, look, He knew that He was about to become sin. He was about to become the sin sacrifice for all of mankind. He was going to be judged as a sinner. He was going to be separated from God, His Father. Father, I don't think Jesus feared the cross. I don't think Jesus was afraid of the physical pain, although it was great. I believe Jesus hated the thought of becoming sin because He hated sin. He despised it. And I've got to become that which I hate. I've got to become that which I abhor. Lord, I don't want to do this. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but what? Thine be done. That's the time to pray. Jonah got to that place, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to preach to those people. I don't want you to have mercy on them. I don't want them to get saved. Okay, God, I know that's what you want. He should have prayed then. That's when he should have prayed. He could have prayed, should have prayed, and maybe would have prayed. He chose not to at that moment. He got down in the belly of that whale, and when he hadn't prayed back then, could have, should have, and chose not to, here he was in the belly of the whale. All the fallout, all the consequences, the great wind, the great fish, the turmoil, the difficulty, the lack of peace, when it was at its worst, when he was trapped and closed in by the belly of the whale, then Jonah prayed. And I say, thank God, I'm glad, friend, if you don't pray here, you can pray here. Thank God for that. Then Jonah prayed. Jonah was further down than he had ever been before. That's literally and figuratively. He was down in the bottom of that ocean. But you hear me, friend, he was not too far down to cry out to God for mercy. No. God's mercy plainly requested. Then Jonah prayed. Should have prayed here. Didn't. Went through all kinds of turmoil, trouble, wind, storm, difficulty, fish's belly. Now he's down there in the bottom of all that mess. And out of the depths of that mess in his heart, he prays out for God's mercy. He says, God, please. God's mercy plainly requested. Now I want to show you number four. God's mercy plainly received. Look at chapter number one. Chapter number two and verse number 10. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. There are two parts to the mercy that God showed to Jonah. First of all, he was released from the grip of the consequences. Released. The whale's belly had shut out the light of day. The step of freedom was cut off. The glimmer of hope was dimmed. The doom of death was imminent all around him. But the mercy of God was still available. Now, you know what I like about this, friend? Do you know what Jonah could do for God in that whale's belly? Nothing. And that's where some people find themselves when they turn away from the will of God and run. They end up in the belly of the fish. They find themselves in a situation where they can do nothing for God. But that's not what matters. What matters is God could still do something for Jonah. And he did something for Jonah. He showed him his mercy, tickled the belly of that whale, had enough backslidden profit in that whale that it made him sick, and the whale vomited Jonah up on dry land. God released him from the grip of his circumstances. And then when you look at chapter 3, verse number 1, you see the second thing that God's mercy did for Jonah, reclaimed Jonah for service. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. God didn't just release Jonah. God reclaimed Jonah. Gave him another chance to live for him, to serve him, and to please him. Now that's the story of Jonah. You got God's will plainly revealed. You got God's will plainly rejected. You've got God's mercy plainly requested. And then you've got God's mercy plainly received. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been like Jonah? Or are you a Jonah this morning? Are you out of the will of God? Did you come to some place in your Christian life and God said, this is my will. And you looked at it and there's everything in your flesh rebelled against it. And you said, you know what? I watched this process. I watched this process unfold in that conference room back there. I sit across the table for people and talk to them and from the Bible, show them the will of God. And I see visibly the struggle in the heart, the struggle that comes from within. I don't want to do that. And we have prayer. And they leave the conference room and literally, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know which way they're going to go. I can see the struggle, I can see the fight. Have you come to that place in your life where this is God's will? And you just said, no, I'm not going to do it. And you went the other direction and the winds came and the fish came and the difficulty. And now you find yourself just in tremendous difficult circumstances this morning. You know, it may be that you're still faithful to church, but in your heart, you know you're a long ways from what pleases God and what honors God. By the way, friend, a lot of times the consequences of that choice are only real to you. They may not be visible and plain to others, but you live with them every day. There's no peace in your heart. Life is like being caught in a great big spider web. Everywhere you turn, nothing seems to work. There's just more of this and more of that and more negative and good. And all you folks that are in the will of God this morning, when you come to those places in life where, Lord, I don't. You remember, you can go through the other direction, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's an entanglement of difficulty like you've never seen. It just mushrooms. It just grows and grows and just expands. It just engulfs you. That's what I'm talking about. The fish swallowed Jonah, swallowed up. And this is what happens to people who go the opposite direction of the will of God. It may not be your whole life. It might be just a part of it. You should have prayed. You could have prayed. You chose not to pray. And now you're... Okay, Pastor, what to do? Same thing Jonah did. God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. You know, folks, Brother Caleb and I were talking yesterday about a brother here in the church and who's just right now, God's touch is on his life and his family, his service for the Lord. You probably never know who this is, and that's the purpose. I wouldn't use the name, but just we were rejoicing over it yesterday morning, how God's blessing this person. You know, I reminded Brother Caleb that man came to a place in his life as a child of God where he wanted to move forward in the will of God, to serve God, but there was something that had to be taken care of. And Brother Caleb and I talked about it, and we said, Brother Caleb, this is what has to happen. And Brother Caleb sat down with that man and said to him, and explained to him from the Bible, sir, this is what needs to happen in your life if you're going to move forward in the will of God. Now, can I tell you how critical that point is? Can I tell you how critical that point is? Many times when people are faced with that decision, that to move ahead in the will of God, this has got to be decided. Many times they harden their heart. I don't understand it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to. In this man's case, he listened and he humbled himself. I'm not sure he comprehended or understood all the Bible teaching on the subject, but he humbled himself to the place where he said, okay, and moved ahead in the will of God. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. That man has God's touch on his life right now. See, we're all goofy in our thinking. We think that the will of God is so confining and so narrow and so straight, and boy, it just kind of boxes you in. Ay. Nothing's further from the truth. The will of God frees you. It frees you when you turn around and you go this way. This is the way that gets, the Bible even says, you hedged us in. You hedged us in. You men ever been out hunting and gotten into a thicket of multiflora rose? Help us. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys that hunt fish, you get in that stuff, that multiflora rose, and I'm telling you what, you can't turn. It grabs at you and cuts you. And you come out of the other side, you're bleeding. That's what going away from God is like, running into a patch of multiflora rose. You go the other direction. This is the path of freedom. This is the path of breath. This is the path of peace. This is the path where it's wonderful and there's room to be a free person to serve God. But when you go the other way, I've been in those patches of multiflora rose where I just turned around, put my jacket up over my head, my hands like this, and just back through it. One time, I was hunting with Jim Statch out in Iowa, and he was going through a patch of multiflora rose, and a turkey was bedded down in the middle of that multiflora rose. And he took one step, and that turkey came right up beside him. Woof! Out of the gun. I heard that guy scream and holler. I mean, it scared him to death. And that's what getting out of God's will is like. It's a mess. And you get in the middle of all that, and you think to yourself, man, how did I get in this mess? I'm telling you something, brother. That man came to that point in his life where he either had to rebel against God's will or humbly receive it. And praise God, he received it. He went forward, and God's touch is on him. And sad to say, I've seen other people do the opposite. How you doing? Oh, great. Really? What to do? Exactly what Jonah did. That doesn't do any good. Work for Jonah. God won't hear me. God heard Jonah. He won't do anything for you. God did something for Jonah. I don't know that you can get in a worse situation than the belly of a whale, all the seaweed wrapped around your head. Those big old ribs, those gates, there he was in the whale's belly. What's he going to do? Huh? God help me. God have mercy. And God did. God gave that man mercy. When you pray from where you are, pray from a sincere heart, then Jonah prayed. And you can pray too. And God can release you like He released Jonah and prepare you for reclaiming you for His glory and His honor. I want to tell you something, friend. God is a God of a second chance. God's Word comes a second time, a second opportunity, a second time God. I look out in our church and I see some Jonahs. I see people who were absolutely engulfed in consequences. Engulfed. And they prayed. And not only did God release them from those consequences, but God reclaimed them for His service and is using them today in a great way. I'm talking about a second time God. A second time God. Now, I won't tell you what you need to do. Be careful. You can't take this and just decide when, okay, I'm going to say no to God right now because I know He'll give me a second chance. No, you don't know when God's patience is up. You don't know when God's timetable is over. But if you have turned back and if you have said no to the will of God, you're here in church this morning, I'm going to tell you something. You're a candidate for reclamation. You're a candidate for restoration right now this morning. And I'll say this too. This may not always apply to salvation. People have sat in church services and heard the Word of God preached about the need to be saved and so forth and so on. And they've walked out and said, I'll get saved when I'm ready to. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You don't get saved when you're ready to. You get saved when God says get saved. That's when you get saved. I wonder, are you kind of headed down the hedged in path this morning? Huh? Did you come to a situation where you just said no, and you've turned and gone the other direction? Huh? Are you swallowed up by the circumstances? Huh? Then Jonah prayed. Then. And God heard him. A
second time. A second chance to make your life count for God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Before I give the invitation, let me just ask a few questions. I wonder if a Jonah's out there this morning. Potential Jonah. Somebody that faced the will of God and chose to go a different direction. Somebody that knew that God's plain will concerning a matter and just said no. And maybe it's not a fish. Maybe it's not a whale's belly. But it is a great wind. And circumstances that are unpleasant. Huh? You should have prayed. You could have prayed. You didn't. But now you can. And God's Spirit came to where you're sitting this morning and said, hey. Hey. It's time to get back in His will. Anybody sitting in the audience this morning, Pastor Angel, that's me. Certain phase of my life, part of my life. I'm engulfed in multiflora rose this morning. I need God's mercy. I need it. I quit fighting and quit trying to do it on my own. I just need God's mercy. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, wherever you're sitting this morning? Would you do that? God bless you. 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 That's good. Thank you. Take your hand down. Somebody else? Should have lifted my hand just then, Brother Angel, but I didn't. Pray for me. Just got out of the will of God. Faced a situation and went the other direction. Pray for me. Okay. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm not talking about taking communion or being baptized. You know that you've been born into God's family for a Bible reason. If you can say that, you know it from your heart, would you please raise your hand as a testimony to that this morning all over the building. God bless you. Many hands in the air. Now, who's here today would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Don't know that I've ever been born into God's family. I've been in a lot of churches. But I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand this morning wherever you're sitting? Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? Side to side, front to back. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that this morning? Not sure I'm on my way to heaven. All right, anybody here this morning? You've been saved but never baptized in deep water since you've been saved. Pray for me. Never been baptized. Pastor, pray for me. Never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand this morning? Let me pray for you as we close the service in just a moment. Now, if you've visited with myself or one of the other men about joining the church and you know it's the thing God wants you to do, then this is the time to do it. Or if you want to talk with one of us about that, you come let one of these men know that you'd like to join the church. We can set up a time to meet with you. But now look, critical junction in life when you come to the revealed will of God and you're struggling with it. Pray then. But if you didn't, and now it's a Jonah-type situation, it's not too late to pray. God's mercy is available. My dear Father, I thank you for the story of Jonah, not only what it teaches us in typology about your death, burial, and resurrection, but what it teaches us about the God of a second chance. Open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing, O God of mercy, upon some life this morning. In this room. Thank you for many hands that went up. Honest people, Lord, about their situation. God, a Jonah somewhere. Not a bad man. Just a man that got out of your will. Help us today. Thank you for mercy that's available to reclaim us, restore us, and put us back on the track of serving you. May you help us this morning. Save any who are lost. But draw these folks, I pray, to that place of prayer for mercy. In Jesus' name. Let's stand.